welcome to the talking show on K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only.
Only.
Micro-
only.
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 Solo.
El solo.
Solamente.
El solo. I was broadcasting in Espanol. On Espanol.
No idea.
Bokehs, as they say down south.
Right.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm Steve Cato.
And I'm Nicholas Miller.
Nice to meet you, Nicholas Miller.
Great to meet you, Steve Cato.
And we are the hosts of K Chung Radio's The Talking Show. Just in case you are brand new to this venture, Nicholas and I aren't actually just meeting for the first time. We've been doing this show for about 4 years.
Yeah, we're almost the longest running show on K-Chung.
Us, Too True, who are just here, and a smattering of other shows are the first shows.
But the real competition is just between us and Too True, them being an hour older than we are.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of intense rivalry between twin siblings.
Right.
That you really cannot mess with.
Yeah, because whenever you see identical twins, you always ask, kind of chide them, who's older?
If someone was, even if only by a few seconds.
Right.
A few shakes of a mane's tail.
Speaking of Toronto, you've seen that Cronenberg movie about the twins, right?
Yes, Dead Ringers.
Which one's older? Do we even get to know?
Oh, I think it is actually revealed in the movie.
Is it the confidence?
You're obsessed with this movie.
I like that movie.
You bring this up an awful lot.
Yeah.
We've talked about Dead Ringers maybe 4 times.
Well, you know, David Cronenberg is a good filmmaker.
He is, and especially during his golden era of sort of like transitioning between his later more sophisticated work and his sort of more shock and awe exploitative films, for sure.
Right, yeah. So which one's older, the confident one or the smart one?
I don't remember.
I guess Hollywood would generally lead us to believe that the confident one would be older.
That would be the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. What's new with you? How was your week?
I've been working too much, and it's going to keep going. I'm in a work hole.
Well, think about all those delicious dollar bills you're going to earn.
Yeah, and eat. I've skipped food at this point. I just eat the dollars.
Sounds great.
Yeah, you know, I was cleaning an advanced water filtering system today.
Oh, was this a Berkey?
It was a Berkey.
Uh huh.
And I was reading the instructions on how to clean this system carefully, and it says that it traps 99% of viruses.
Wow, that's a lot of filtration.
Yeah, the idea of that thing, except for one of my coworkers was gripping it with his bare hands as I read that aloud.
Yeah.
So his hands are covered.
His bare virus-covered hands.
Yeah. So, you know, there's one, I just told him there's 1% of viruses that are not on your hands. The rest?
Yeah.
On your hands.
Yeah.
Speaking of viruses, what'd you think of that last episode of Game of Thrones?
You're going to have to remind me because I downloaded the torrent. And so the last episode I saw, which is sort of taking that like last episode of Game of Thrones place in my mind.
Yeah, it's not the one that we want to talk about.
It's something more complicated. And I don't want to put any spoilers on the air in case, you know, just for everyone's sake. What happened in the last one you saw?
Jon Snow, instead of being reprimanded for going against, what's the proper king's name? Stannis Baratheon.
Stannis Baratheon. Oh, and by shooting the arrow into the wildling.
Yeah, so instead of being reprimanded, he was promoted.
Oh, yeah, he's now Lord Commander of
Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Yeah. And then did that guy mouth off to him?
Yeah, that guy mouths off a lot, though. He has a kind of a...
The guy who was in King's Landing?
Yeah.
The coward?
No, I'm thinking of the guy who was kind of half in charge during the battle.
Face
is, it's like he has a bitter beer face. It's like sucking in on his own face.
Yeah.
That guy mouthed off, yeah.
Yeah.
What else happened? There was quite a bit from our Targaryen leader.
Yeah.
She's struggling at leading people. You'd think it would just take blonde hair and some dragons, but...
Yeah.
It's more harder than that.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
There's a class warfare going on.
That's right. The Sons of the Harpy. Is that the name of the militant organization?
Right. And then one of her her most loyal soldiers kills the harpy and is cannot understand why this is a immoral act. So she has him beheaded.
Oh, yeah.
By her hot, sexy lover.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The plot thickens. Although it seems like the last two episodes did not quench my lust for blood.
You're in luck. Wild stuff happens in the next two episodes, which I saw leaked.
Good.
The other interesting thing, and I don't think this is going to leak too much information to anyone, is that the TV series seems to be fully diverting from... You know, actually, I don't think a lot of blood... not a lot of blood spilling happens, but a lot of plot twists.
Hmm.
Juicy plot twists get set up, and you see them... You see the scaffolding being built, and you know, you're sort of like, oh boy,
here it comes.
You know, like you see, you start getting that Game of Thrones feeling, which leads you to believe that it'll be a really bloody second half of the season,
right.
Based on like the insane combination of hubris and sort of bad choice making by all the living characters who failed to learn any lessons from all the characters who died in the last four seasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, the most important lessons we have to keep relearning, Steve.
You should, you know, the only one who remembers any lessons seems to be, you know, Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah. I think it's because he's a small man.
Yeah.
He's achieved a state of pure alienation from a very young age.
Right. I honestly, I think that's it. And that's why comes across as the only modern man. In many ways, in the
exactly.
whole thing, everyone's motivations are exclusively to do with concepts we find absolutely no use for anymore.
Or at least the primitive inside of us is so deeply shelled, so deep in there that
yeah.
we can't understand. You just lop their head off because family.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. I was having a conversation with Tom Lawson sort of around the topic of Scottish independence and I think Robbie Burns Day, which is the Scottish National Day.
When is that?
It's in February, I think.
Okay.
And they have a haggis and, you know, people of Scottish ancestry who follow these things will go to a nice dinner and an expensive bottle of scotch will be eradicated and mm-hmm. carousing will ensue. And he was like, you know, none of that Braveheart stuff, as a Scottish person, none of that Braveheart stuff means anything to me. I'm from Glasgow. I'm a lowlander.
Right.
And I think that's what I am too. I mean, we don't have the same distinction in Canada, but all the mountains, all the rivers, all this stuff that's supposed to make me feel super like canoeing on some lake at dawn. I'm a lowlander. And, you know, I'm not... It's much harder for me to get motivated around the beheading for honor or whatever it is that seems to motivate the Highland person. So, from the very beginning, like Varys and Tyrion... And to an extent, Littlefinger, even though I feel like he's just too much of a weirdo to really get down with. But I feel like those are like my avatars in Game of Thrones.
Littlefinger seems modern.
Yeah, he just also seems slimy.
Yeah, he's cunning.
That he is.
Yeah.
And increasingly reckless is how I would describe him in his performance in the fifth. Also, his accent has toned. I rewatched the first season of Game of Thrones.
Oh,
his
wow.
accent, his like combo phony Irish, possibly real but overbaked Irish accent is so thickly laid on in the first. It's almost like someone saying, you know, doing like the most stereotypical racist Sean Connery impression,
right?
But then saying like, but switch it to an Irish accent instead, like just transpose the same comedy racist vector to another place. It's like he's chewing through an entire bowl of Lucky Charms while he's trying to utter. It's out. It's really worth rewatching it if you're feel like you're missing out on stuff. Insane stuff happens in the first season, like Ned Stark having to kill Sansa's dire wolf. I forgot all about that, but it's like actually sort of horrifyingly moving and done pretty much just to placate Joffrey's bloodlust.
Oh yeah, this is when he was the Hand of the King.
Yeah, when Ned was still the Hand of the King, and the wolf bites him because he's attacking Arya.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of other popular things and popular topics, lately there has been a vogue for hypnotism in the visual arts.
Oh dear.
And our next guest is right at the sort of breaking edge of that. He is in fact the hypnotist to the visual arts. He's been featured in many residencies.
Right. He's on Hauser & Wirth's roster.
He's been in the last Documenta. He's a close associate of star curator Raimundus Malazascas.
Excellent.
And in fact, sort of was the fabricator, or maybe the technical sort of analog would be the chief preparator of this exhibition that Raimundus has been doing, where the artist creates a script for the hypnotist, and then the hypnotist puts the art show in the audience's minds without them doing...
Oh, dear.
Having to actually undergo the painful art spectating procedure.
Sounds like an exhibition for our alienated friend Tyrion Lannister.
Why?
Because it sounds horribly alienating.
Well, I think in a way it's kind of unifying. Everyone gets the same image of the show.
Surely they have different imaginations.
Well, I think a lot is being suggested to one. So our guest tonight is the number one suggester to the court suggester to the lofty peaks of our European Kunsthalle overlords, Marcos Lutyens. Actually, I believe from Spain, but definitely of a Flemish descent. He's going to perform some hypnotism in the studio. So if you are driving, switch to Power 97 or pull over to the side of the road.
That means you, Ian James.
And if you're not driving, that's great. Just relax, get comfortable, and receive Marcos Lutyens.
So I'm just speaking a little bit slowly because we're actually going to slow down time in here. And there's been a lot of ideas circulating, I'm sure, in the last few days and certainly this morning. Many ideas. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of consider these ideas from just a little bit of a different viewpoint. And what we're going to do is use a kind of tool that's called hypnosis. And it's a very old, ancient tool that's been used in different cultures around the world over many centuries and in many different places. And what we're going to use today is basically a kind of clinical method of hypnosis, but it has its roots way back in time. So what I'd like to do is for you to check that your cell phones are turned off, your mobile phones, and also that you're sitting comfortably, that you're not too hot or not too cold, that you, if you have something around your neck, it's loose, you don't feel constrained by it, and that you're sitting as comfortably as possible. And maybe some of you have been hypnotized before, and maybe some of you have gone into trance states before. There are lots of different ways of going into trance. Sometimes listening to music, or sometimes, you know, for instance, listening to drums, or, you know, other methods, maybe shamanic methods, or all sorts of different ways of going in and out of this trance state. In fact, we all go in and out of trance at least once or twice a day when we wake up in the morning or we go to sleep. And when we're going to sleep, basically our mind transitions from a conscious state into a kind of state of sleep, and our brainwave transitions from one state to another. And so it's actually a familiar state that we go in and out of. Another time that we go in and out of this trance state is perhaps when you're on the train and you're just staring out of the window, you're just sitting there very comfortably, and you can kind of feel and sense the landscape going by you. Perhaps it's snowing, or perhaps it's not snowing, perhaps, you know, you can see certain buildings going by, and before you know it, you actually get to the train station, your destination. But before you get there, you've been on this kind of reverie where you've been thinking about things at another place and another time. So what I'm saying is that hypnosis isn't actually such kind of strange phenomenon. We're actually all used to it. The only difference is that we're focusing a little bit more. And what I am going to do now is a hypnotic process in a few moments. And I'd like to invite as many of you as possible to go through this practice. Some of you may go into a deeper state of trance, and some of you may stay at a light state of trance. And, you know, if you want to avoid going into trance, you can just basically sit there and just enjoy the session, and just as an audience member. And so, you just want to just settle down a little bit. And if you have glasses, it's nice perhaps to take them off to rest your nose. And because we're going to do the session mostly with our eyes closed. And the last thing I wanted to say is that during hypnosis, it's perfectly normal to hear my voice. And unlike the lectures from this morning, you don't actually have to pay attention to every single word I say. You can just follow along and listen to the sound of my voice. And at some stages, you may be more aware of my voice, and at other moments, my voice may just begin to fade away. And you don't have to pay any particular attention to what I'm saying. And at some moments you may find yourself very, very far away at another place at another time. Or you may just begin to find yourself again in this space, listening to my voice and knowing you're here in this gym. But either way, the best thing to do is just to follow along and just let yourself relax. Okay? So the way I would like to start the induction is by doing a very simple exercise. It's using magnets. We all have magnets in our hands, and what I'd like you to do is hold out your hands like this. And just relax your shoulders and just focus on the space between your hands. And just begin to close your eyes, and as you focus more and more on the space between your hands, I'd like you to feel and sense that you have a magnet in either hand, in the palm of each hand. And I'd like you to begin to feel and sense and focus more and more on the space between your hands. And with every breath, I'd like you to focus more and more on that space. And any sounds from outside, just allow you to focus more and more on that space between your hands and that magnetic feeling and sensation between your hands. And with every breath, perhaps you can begin to feel and sense how your hands are slowly coming closer and closer now. And as they're coming closer and closer, I'd like you to feel and sense that magnetic force getting stronger and stronger and more intense as you feel and sense how your palms are just coming together almost by themselves. And any other thoughts or feelings or sounds from outside, just allow you to focus more and more on the space between your hands, the magnetic force between your hands, and how your hands are slowly coming closer and closer, almost as if the palms of your hands just feel as if they're just drifting closer and closer. And you can perhaps feel how your fingers and thumbs are also being drawn together closer and closer. And I'd just like you to close your eyes even more, deeper and deeper. And just allow you to feel the sensation between your hands and how your hands are just gently drifting closer and closer and closer and closer. And feeling and sensing how your hands are coming closer now. And as they're coming closer, you can just relax. Relax every part of your nerves, your muscles and your fibers, and with every breath you're beginning to feel and sense how your hands are just coming closer and closer. And as they're almost touching now, you can just allow your hands to get heavier and heavier, and feeling and sensing how your hands are getting heavier and heavier. And you can just allow your hands now just to relax in your lap, and just allow your hands just to come down into your lap now, and take a deep, deep breath. And I'd like you to feel a sense of relaxation now just coming down around the top of your head. Down around your hair. And down around your forehead. And with every breath, I'd like you to focus more and more on that feeling of relaxation that's coming down around your eyes, between your eyes. Down around your cheeks. And all the way down around your mouth, feeling more and more relaxed. And each and every one of your nerves and muscles and fibers around your mouth is feeling more and more relaxed, and I'd like you to relax your jaw muscle. And inside your mouth, your throat, and the back of your throat. And any other thoughts or feelings or sounds from outside just allow you to focus more and more on the feeling of relaxation as it's just coming down your shoulders. And all the way down your back, one vertebra at a time, feeling more and more relaxed. Feeling that relaxation, just going all the way down, down your shoulders, and into your biceps and triceps, and down your arms, and feeling that heavy relaxation just coming down into your elbows and your forearms, and all the way down to your hands as they're resting there in your lap. And each and every one of your fingers feeling so comfortable and so relaxed. And I like that feeling of relaxation now just to come down over your chest and down into your stomach and all the way down into your hips as they're sitting there resting, taking the weight of your body. Or perhaps the chair or seat is supporting your weight. And I'd like you now to focus on that feeling of relaxation as it's just flowing down through your thighs and down into your knees and all the way down to your calf muscles and shins. And any other sound from outside, just allow you to focus more and more on that feeling of relaxation as it goes all the way down to your ankles and your feet as they're resting there, very heavy and very relaxed, very heavy and very relaxed. And in a few moments, I'm sure you have a feeling that perhaps you're here in the gym listening to my voice, but in a few moments, I'd like you to begin to focus on a set of stairs, and maybe these stairs are from a long, long time ago in your imagination, or maybe they're just made up in your mind. And I'd like you now to focus on these stairs at the top of the stairs, and I'm going to slowly count down from 10 to 1, and with every number we're just going to go down one step at a time to a very safe and very comfortable place on the inside. Ten. Whenever you're ready now, just allow yourself to take the first step down. Very safe and very comfortable, going down one step at a time, and with every step we're feeling more and more comfortable. And more relaxed now. Nine. Going further and further down, and feeling with every step that you're going deeper and deeper on the inside. Eight. Allowing time to slow down with every breath and any sounds from outside. Just allow you to register how much further down you're going, deep down on the inside now. Seven, dreaming and drifting, going further and further down now. Six, any thoughts or feelings from outside, just allowing to go deeper and deeper now, heavier and heavier, more and more relaxed now. Five, going all the way down now, four, three, further and further down now, so incredibly heavy and so relaxed now, two and one, all the way down now, deep down in a wonderful state of relaxation, very heavy and very relaxed, and as you're listening to the sound of my voice, Just allow any thoughts or feelings to drift off now as you focus more and more on the inside. And in a few moments, I'd like you to focus on the hand that you write with, and maybe that's your right hand, or maybe it's your left hand. And in a few moments, I'd like you to focus on that hand completely, the hand that you write with, the hand that you usually write with. And focus more and more on that hand, on the fingers of that hand, on the thumb. And perhaps you can even imagine yourself holding a writing instrument in that hand. And for now, I'd like that hand to get heavier and heavier now, and I'd like you to focus all your attention on the heaviness inside that hand and down into those fingers, feeling heavier and heavier, almost as if they were made of stone or metal or some very, very heavy substance, very heavy and very relaxed, heavier and heavier and more relaxed. And I'd like that heaviness to extend upwards into your forearm and into your elbows and all the way up into that arm, feeling very heavy and very relaxed. I'd like all that part of the body to feel heavier and heavier now, heavier and heavier and more relaxed. And your other hand, the hand that you don't usually write with, I'd like that hand to feel lighter and lighter, and more airy, and just so incredibly light and airy. And the arm that it's attached to, feeling lighter and lighter now, and as it's feeling lighter and lighter, in a few moments we're just going to go down another set of stairs. And this time around we're going to go twice as far down, twice as relaxed, and twice as heavy on the inside. 10, allowing yourself now to go further and further down now. 9, dreaming and drifting. 8, any thoughts or feelings from outside, you can just allow them to drift off now. 7, allowing time to go slower and slower at your own speed. 6, 5, 4, going further and further down now. 3, 2, and 1, all the way down now, deep down on the inside. And in a few moments now, I'd like you to imagine something very simple and something very easy. I'd like you to imagine yourself standing in front of a mirror. And perhaps this mirror is from a long time ago in your past, or perhaps it's a mirror that you've seen very recently. And it's amazing to feel and sense how when we look in the mirror we expect to see ourselves. Perhaps we see a certain part of ourselves. And as you're staring there in front of the mirror, just gently looking at yourself, looking at your eyes, looking back at yourself, looking at your face so incredibly relaxed, your mouth, your chin, your cheeks, feeling more and more relaxed, and just looking at yourself there in the mirror as if you were someone else at another place, at another time. And as you're observing yourself now in that mirror, I'd like you to begin to feel and sense how perhaps the room is beginning to fog up. And the fog is spreading up onto the mirror, and it's almost as if you're beginning to fade away in your reflection. And as you're fading away in your reflection, it's almost as if your reflection is getting more and more translucent and transparent. And you're feeling more and more relaxed as this other you is just dissolving away more and more and deeper now. And in a few moments, I'm going to come down from 3 to 1, and when I reach 1, I would like you to feel and sense yourself moving away from this mirror. And as you're moving and dreaming and drifting, I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. And when I reach 1, I would like you to find yourself walking in a meadow or on some steps far away in the grasslands. 3, allowing yourself now to transfer all your attention to being and sensing and feeling yourself in this grassland. Walking waking and dreaming and drifting now, two and one. And as you're walking now across that grassland, perhaps you can smell in the air the fresh grasses and the wind, and all the feelings that the wind is bringing to you, the smells, the feelings, and the movement of the wind across your face and in your ears. And it's amazing how heavy you may be feeling, and I'd like that heaviness just to allow you to feel the amazing sensation of just relaxing now. Just allow yourself now to relax on the ground and feel the grass between your hands and around your neck and around the back of your head, feeling very heavy and very relaxed. Feeling very heavy and very relaxed, and just allowing yourself now just to fade away, and feeling so heavy and relaxed as you're just feeling heavier and heavier now, so incredibly still, as if you've been lying there for days and days and weeks and weeks. And in fact, perhaps you've been lying there for so long that this other you has disappeared. It's almost as if you can feel and sense yourself developing holes inside yourself, as if holes are being tunneled inside you, as if you're being perforated, as if you're gaining porosity, and I'd like that porosity to spread throughout all of your body. I'd like these holes and tunnels and conduits to develop more and more, stronger and stronger inside your body. And feeling and sensing this hollowness emptying out your body from left to right, and from top to bottom, and all the way through your legs and your arms. And perhaps feeling these hollow tubes running through your fingers and your thumb, through your neck and through your temples, and every part of your body feeling hollower and hollower, as if you were becoming more and more porous. And as you sense this porosity, I'd like you to begin to feel how your body is getting lighter and lighter now, feeling that lightness in every part of your body, as if this lightness were taking over into every part of your body, every part of your arms and legs, your head, your mind, feeling hollower and hollower and lighter now, and beginning to feel that sensation of lightness beginning to lift up every part of your body, feeling so incredibly light, as if your hands and fingers and arms were getting lighter and lighter now. Feeling this incredible porosity giving you an incredible lightness around you and within you, and feeling and sensing how you can begin to float higher and higher into the sky, feeling lighter and lighter, almost as if you could just dream and drift and float. And as you're dreaming and drifting and floating across this meadow, perhaps you could be drawn to a flower, a beautiful, incredible flower that's there in front of you, perhaps an orchid. Or perhaps it's not a flower at all, perhaps it's just something sending signals to you. It's sending signals, perhaps electromagnetic signals, or perhaps colors in a different spectrum, and I'd like you to feel an overwhelming desire to be drawn closer and closer to this delicate form with this beautiful color and texture now, and feeling and sensing yourself getting closer and closer and deeper into this form, feeling and sensing the smells, the sensations, and the forms and the textures as you're going deeper and deeper into this tunnel that's there in front of you and around you. And feeling and sensing how you're rubbing up against the sex organs of this object, touching, feeling, sensing, and moving and drifting now, and just floating and dreaming and drifting away. But perhaps for now you can just stay within this flower and allow yourself to be there as this flower, feeling and sensing the wind moving through your petals, and feeling and sensing your job done, and feeling and sensing the transience of life, and feeling and sensing how time is just transforming things, and you're getting drier and drier, and you can feel the dryness in every part of your body. You're feeling more and more dry, and you're feeling older and older and heavier and heavier now. Heavier and heavier and older and drier, and you can allow yourself now just to collapse downwards and feel that heaviness now. As you just collapse down into a pile or a heap or a mound of compost, and feeling and sensing that warm feeling of the compost, the smell of the compost, the cut grass, the vegetables, the fruits, all decaying, but feeling comforted by the heat, the sensation of warmth and the transformation that's happening. Feeling and sensing the warmth in your body, the warmth in your arms, the warmth on your cheeks. And feeling and sensing how you're beginning to decay and devolve and change and transform into other things. And as you're listening to the sound of my voice, it's amazing how you could feel yourself perhaps in that mound decaying and changing and transforming, but it's also amazing how these words are coming to you. These words, these ideas, and these feelings are carried by words. And in a few moments, I'm going to start to stack words on top of this pile. But I would like you to feel and sense these words, not with their meanings, but with their texture and shape, with their smell, their forms, feelings. And just allow yourself just to forget for a moment about the meanings that these labels bring with them. And just consider the sounds of these words as they wash over your decaying self. As repulsion, as rejection, as resistance, as terror formation, and terror self, and terror sense, and terror sync, and terror symbiosis. And perhaps you can begin to feel and sense how these words are entering into the mound and dissolving around you, and feeling and sensing how you yourself are absorbing these words, one word after another. Because it matters which stories we tell as we're worlding, and the urgency of our times. And the confusione, and the componere, and the commensa. And dreaming and drifting, going further and further down now, and feeling and sensing all these words ad finitum, and the cascade of poesis, and the responsive responding of sentient happy beings, and the feeling and the sensation through our nose of the perfume as action, and feeling and sensing all these scents and smells and feelings, and how vultures may tear us apart and drift and dream and get more and more porous over time, and doing something for nothing, and then being there and blind and reactive and autonomous, and the interspecies and the intimacy, feeling and sensing these words like turtles all the way down, stacking up more and more around you and within you and inside you, and just absorbing all these truths from a different perspective, from the sense and feeling inside your body now, dreaming and drifting and doing nothing. and just allowing all these words and parathinking tools and the games of mirrors and the endosomatic consumption of resources to dream and drift across you. Decaying body and feeling and sensing how you're transforming all this meaning into something else, which maybe for now you can just let lie and grow and change and turn into other things. And as opposed to hypnotic suggestion, perhaps one day when you're walking in a field or smelling the deep, dense, dank smell of compost, holding the compost up to your nose, perhaps all the meanings and sensations and feelings of everything that we've been saying today will suddenly coalesce, and feeling and sensing now. And as we're following the turtles all the way down, one turtle after another, seeing and feeling and sensing that one turtle supports another, and that one is supported by another and another, all the way down, even further down. In a few moments, I'm slowly going to count up from 1 to 10, and when we reach 10, I'd like you slowly to open your eyes. And there'll be some images in front of your eyes, and you'll just allow yourself just to observe these images. Perhaps it'll be a film, or perhaps it'll be a series of photographs, one after the other, or perhaps it's just something else. Just light dancing on a screen. And I'm going to count up from 1 to 10, and when I reach 10, you'll be wide awake, wide awake. One, slowly coming back now into this space. 2, allowing every part of your body just to come back into a normal state, allowing the hand that you write with to come back to its normal state of being, and the hand, the other hand, the hand that you don't write as well. 3, coming back now. 4, feeling and sensing yourself coming back now to a normal state of awareness. 5, feeling time coming back to its normal speed. 6, almost all the way back now. 7, 8, stretching and yawning now. 9 and 10, wide awake now, wide awake.
Wow. What the? I'll try again.
Hypnotized.
And the count-in that brought us back to consciousness, that didn't...
No, I was brought back by you going, wow.
I'm glad you still love me best.
I mean, in my state of hypnosis, I just saw Steve's naked body floating back and forth. Back and forth.
Does that sort of remind you of our vacation to the Aegean a couple years ago?
It reminds me more of Ibiza.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, that was a good vacation. That was fun times.
We met my old DJ friend, Peanut Butter Brian.
Oh, yeah, Peanut Butter Brian, PBB.
Yeah, sticky times.
How come PBB hasn't gotten a show on K-Chan?
He doesn't talk. He just DJs, you know.
As there's shows for that.
I bet if we have to make a major compromise, and we have to give him a 4-on-the-floor kick, and then I think maybe he'd talk.
Oh, well.
He's like Weekend at Bernie's, that guy.
We don't need to have PBB on our show. What I was saying is more like he could have his own show on K-Chan.
Yeah, he's got that weekly residency in Ibiza, and he's touring. He's playing in Barcelona and in Amsterdam. I think he's a little booked.
Right. Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time we've had commuter DJs here, though. You know, you did commute from Texas to do the show.
Yeah, but they're really cracking down on that here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
we have to pay triple the dues in order to do the remote thing.
To,
yeah.
To offset our carbon footprint traveling to the station.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's our guilt. Payments that Solomon instituted.
$6,000 a month. That's dipping into my pocket a little too deep.
It's true. It's a little nippy. That's a little nippy.
You know, as long as it pays Gunther's internship fees.
About the hypnotism, we've had a hypnotist on before.
We have a California hypnotist.
Georgia Takish.
Takish, yeah, something like that.
Takish.
Yeah, he cured you of smoking.
And I was wondering if, you know, since we are visual art professionals.
Correct.
If you felt, since also in both cases, I think you were more powerfully hypnotized.
That is
than
true.
I was.
That is true.
I have sort of like a tied to the mast, Odysseus and the siren sort of relationship to hypnotism.
Right.
Whereas Nicholas allows his mind and body free rein to be a plaything for the hypnotist.
I'm just the woeful working class with the beeswax removed from his ears.
Yeah, trying to row a boat.
Trying to row, but torn asunder by the hypnotizing song of the sirens.
And so my question to you is, did you feel, you know, as a visual artist and an art worker in your other time as well, did you feel a particular affiliate sort of sympathy to the art hypnotism when you're being hypnotized for a reason that is not as mechanistic, you know, purely aesthetically hypnotized, than you did when you were being entrained to quit smoking?
You know, the being trained to quit smoking was easier to grasp immediately. This was more of a aesthetic experience. I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah.
It was complicated, complex.
Yes.
Whereas the smoking thing, I just woke up and no longer needed those little cigarillos that I love so much.
Do you remember the power console Takish introduced?
Yeah, many more metaphors in that one.
That computer.
Yeah. It somehow they help, though. You know, because the images were concrete.
So the genitals and things in this one were just too outre.
I mean, they weren't outre. I think this kind of hypnotism, requires more more reflection.
Ah.
So I think I'll have to, you know, I basically just woke up.
Right. Well, that's what, now's the time. I'm striking while the iron is hot.
Yeah. I think with the mind, when it wakes up, the iron's cold.
Oh, interesting.
For me, at least. I imagine you wake up talking.
I wake up right away. I'm actually like a instant on kind of human.
You're not a cascading alarm kind of guy.
We've discussed this, actually. I am absolutely not a cascading alarm kind of guy in a relationship with a cascading alarm kind of gal.
Yeah, I can tell, because I'm in her camp. But we have the same haircut, so.
Yeah, that's true. You guys have so similar colored hair. That's why I date you both.
That's true. Well, what did you think, Steve?
I thought it was great. I've experienced a few of Mr. Lucian's hypnotisms, seances, in IRL.
Interesting.
And in those cases, it was with Raimundus, and sort of the one was a work by Angie Kiefer I experienced through Marcus, and another one was sort of kind of whiff of a Maurice LaRiviere.
So what are the artists writing for him? Are they setting the stage, like, you know, you're in a green field, or are they setting the goal of the hypnotism, or what?
There's a part of the text that's sort of boilerplate hypnotism.
Right. There seems to be probably, it's like architecture.
Getting people in, getting people out.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways that it happens.
Right.
But then when you're in, the things that are drawn out in that space, that's the domain of the artist.
I see. What did Angie do?
It was a sort of trip, and you looked at some things.
Okay, did it work?
It was very nice.
Excellent.
I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a wonderful exhibition.
What'd you see?
It was a puddle. I don't remember it that clearly.
Oh.
I did, in that case, since it was happening, I had no ulterior... I was there purely as a spectator. I wasn't a host or technically responsible in any way.
Right.
I allowed myself the full embodied experience.
You didn't have one eye on the nice cast the whole time.
I did not have it on my nice cast.
Good.
Speaking of the nice cast, it seems like it's time our nice cast was at an end.
Yeah. Time to count some sheep.
I'll count from 10 to 1. And when I reach the number 1, the talking show for tonight will be at an end.
And those of you who have pulled over to the side of the road can wake up, turn the car back on.
And you will say the word, wow, to yourself, and then continue on your way.
Okay, we're ready.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and...